Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you this morning. And we were spending about an hour in Las Vegas, and something going on when the whole Las Vegas got hacked. And it, right now, is people lost their, they lost all their information in Las Vegas. Then in Libya, two dams busted, and we want an investigation of them two dams busting, killing millions of people. So we got to have an investigation of what's going on with oil. And one of the things I wanted to know, did nobody know those dams was going to break, two of them at one time? and it wiped out a whole nation of people. On this Sunday morning, all is well. Psalms 45, Psalms 78, and I want you to read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That will be storm after storm, tornado after tornado, and we're getting ready for another volcano coming back to back. We just had one, nothing is working. Representatives said, we want an investigation of what happened to two dams busted at one time. That's not likely. Two dams busted. And then what happened in the papers? Now, it's supposed to be the most sophisticated world, and no way that the MGM and those people to get hacked. Something going on in our world. And we talking about sending money to Ukraine, about money to Biden all over the world. We got to send money, and the Biden to send money to more than Ukraine. And we are concerned about all the people that's coming in, that they're letting them in. Diseases, they have been through the jungle, and now they've thrown them on American people. So we got a lot to deal with, and lots of doors that open up. God is in control, and I want to tell you, God will open up the door in. Prince of Mississippi, Louisiana, those that ask for prayer right in Chicago, Minnesota. And I talked to Pastor Etta, and Pastor Etta was telling me, Bishop, we need to pray for my job, prophecy that she gave out, that if people just turn from their ways, God will heal the land. And I want to go back to our Native America. Now, I want to say this this morning. It's important for us to understand the world. Now, I just don't believe two dams busted at one time, and ain't nobody with all the technology that we got, all the satellites, that they couldn't see them dams busting. Two dams at one time, killing thousands of people. The dam busted, and with all the sophisticated stuff that we got, Lorraine, that they can't see up in Las Vegas, that somebody done hacked and took all the people information. Something is going on in our world. We see all the crane. What about the money and people in South Africa starving? People in the other parts of the world starving. So it's important for us to understand that we got to be able to do something else besides let all the people work out.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to work it out this morning, and whatever you're going through, I'm praying for you and you. That's a healing. And we're going to let you know God is able to do anything but fail. So let's go back to Africa. The drums of truth, the our ancestor drums of truth, and the drums of Africa, and the drums of our native America, and the drums we ask for the healing and deliverance, God will work it out. Don't forget, prayer changes things. Don't forget, God got your back. All is well. Say this month, those that got birthdays and birthday parties and all of that, I just want to say all is well. I want to say to you that God got your back. Everything is in divine order. And what that means is God going to work it out one way or the other. So I'm looking for God to give us what needs. I'm praying for your healing. And I want to tell you this morning, God going to work it out. You might not understand that. But God got your back if you just let go. Let God. My people are called by my name. Humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. God will heal the land. So you got to let go this morning and let God begin the healing. Death and the killing, God is able. And why we want to thank the Mexicans that they are out of slavery. But we got some brothers still and sisters still political prisoners that work to get them out of that situation. We'll be right back. want to go down to Monroe, Louisiana to get Deborah Ann. Deborah Ann getting ready for a big tent service. And I just want to share that. God has been good to you. We got Sister Deborah Marshall all the way from Monroe, Louisiana. And I want to thank Mama Joe that came on and spoke. And people have been still calling about the anointing. Sometimes you have to, the phone with storming, the phone it go in and out. But with the cable man, they're gonna fix all that. So if you can't come on here, up and right. So we're working with that, saying she gonna be able to understand what's going on. And I want to tell you this morning, God opened the door for you. What I'm talking about, I want you to get ready for a breakthrough and get ready for God to open up a door for you. I thought I had Sister Deborah Marshall on. It might have been, phone might be dropping. Something storming here in Chicago. The line go up and down, in and out. But I wanted you to know, God, I'm going to see, can I go to Detroit and get a Sister Mary Hawking in Detroit? I know it's not. Sister Mary Hawking, God bless you this morning. Is you on there? See, sometimes the phone be going in and out. So you're with me. We'll be back up. And when you let it go to open up, so sometimes it drop. Sometimes you can hear what I'm saying. And you can. I got Mary Hawking on the line. Mary Hawking. And also, Deborah follow me from Louisiana and Mary from Detroit, and sometimes the line falls, it'll get up and down. So if we don't get them, that means the line is not getting through. I got to still go forward with the program that God is able to heal, and he'll work it out. And that's what you want him to work it out for you.
Thank you. the last few days, several people have been...
See, sometimes the phone will drop, and when it drops, you just call back. Because we got storms all over the area, so it falls. I don't know what the internet do. A lot of things sometimes God let you listen, sometimes you can't, but next week we have all that, and the man coming to fix the phone up because he said wondering how can two damn bus at one time and don't nobody know about it. Just concerned about that till we get an investigation to come in and then too much money about the people in South Africa, the people that here. Prophet Lorraine.
Yeah, I'm on the line.
And I'm glad I got you out.
I can't understand you going in and out too so much.
Yeah, go on and say what you said. We can hear you. Go on and talk a little bit.
I was just listening at the TV with the governor and the mayor. They're no good for us. You saw one person that's black on there, and that was the mayor. And he's not doing anything but agreeing with that governor. And they're talking about giving all them jobs, and they got people in Chicago needing a job. They say, we don't need a job. But they it's really bad for all those. They want to impeach the president or make the president do something, but he haven't signed to do it anyway. He don't need to. Because there's too many of them, they're going to make them out of slaves. Hmm. They're going to get all them jobs and won't nobody have no job but them. That's the way I see it, you know.
And those people, some of the people are sick. They need to see a doctor. They come through
it's that. It's a hospital that's full of them that's sick. And it's they want to take them that they put in down there in Greektown, that Alterman, he wants them out of that building. There's no kids allowed. I've been looking at the news on that. But this is really bad for all of them, and they still getting busloads coming over here. And the governor said that somebody asked him this morning why they still letting them come over here. He said, what you have to do is ask them. That's not a question to tell nobody. But I was just trying to see how many people is going to just keep on. I know everybody got to live and do all of that, but my goodness. It's too many of them. They don't have no rights yet.
That they shouldn't be coming over. They should send them back because some people got diseases, AIDS, and all the kinds have been through the desert. They've been through that, and that would happen. That's one thing that's going on. Some people don't want to speak on it, and it's messing up the whole country. And you got people that fought in Vietnam and Korea, can't see a doctor or a dentist. And that's the serious part. So right now, we're in a situation where people are starving right here in America. No food,
right.
Nowhere to stay. And that's the thing that I'm saying.
Cutting their stamps, cutting their medical cards, giving it to them. They all got clothes, people paying taxes. They ain't paying nothing, but they're getting everything that people are paying taxes. It's not right.
Well,
that mayor, I don't see no good in him yet.
Well, because we're coming into chaos, and that's what happens.
Oh.
And with all information, that was prayerful and for God to do something for you, things to happen.
To invest it and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragedy in, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you. And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't, to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done and how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you're on your own. You're on your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears.
Yeah.
Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they're searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you,
Know
what you should do,
And
know what he has made you capable of doing.
Yes.
Pray with me if you please.
Yes.
You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us.
Yes.
He know when you punch in and when you punch out. He know whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. It is not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. You sometimes mean the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone. Or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye.
Yes.
And who knows what investment he's made in us.
Yes.
He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two.
Yes.
He knows whether or not he's left with us five.
Yes.
You see what I'm talking about? And he knows exactly what our report should be.
Yes.
That is, if it is a faithful report. Yeah, and I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who simply think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime. And have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied, and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who gotten by, but who didn't get away. And you talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He had all kinds of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him. And it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh, Lord. And sometimes misfortune worked for him. And sometimes trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. Why, sometimes, why expenses about our family life works on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. Oh, Lord, if you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry, remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God. You know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win and then called another one of his officers, the clouds, and spoke to another one of his agents to see and made that old sea boil like a potter. And made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty, oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on up. Why, he bought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. And hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometimes the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know why he is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea worked for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord. He may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't need you to know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country. Oh, Lord. But on the account of Jonah, they had to waste it all. Well, you may be causing other people to suffer because you are Jonah. Oh, come on up. Yeah. And do like Jonah did. Come on up on board. Yeah. And tell the world, I know I'm wrong. Yeah. I know I've been running away. Yeah. I know I've been hiding. Oh, Lord. I know why I'm going through all that I am going through. The Lord is my God. I don't even know what I mean tonight. Oh, Lord, if I were you tonight, wherever you are, if I'd been a Jonah, if I'd been like one of the talented men who've been laying down on a job, oh, I mean right now, even right where you are, right in your home, I'd make up in my mind, right now, you hear what I said? Get up in my mind. Yeah. Like a wandering prodigal, I get up out the hog pen. Like a running hiding Jonah, I come out of the hole. Yes, I would.
Father, I stretch my
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, yes.
The 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
I believe this passage to be one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible.
Yeah.
I believe that this passage is not only possibly better known than the average passage of Scripture, but that it has been whispered by more people in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
It has been quoted by more people on sick beds. It has been uttered by more dying lips.
Well,
possibly than any other passage in all of the Bible. It is said that once in London, England, there were a group of artists and entertainers in the city, and by some scheme, some enterprising person was able to get most of them together in one place so as to demonstrate their gifts.
Yeah.
And when all of them had gone through their routines, they came down to an orator and a minister.
Yeah. Wow.
And both of them were requested to recite the 23rd Psalm. The orator employed all of his innate gift to speak, called upon all of his skill and gift of oratory. And when he had finished his recitation of this psalm, the house went up in thunderous applause. And then the minister arose rather solemnly and proceeded to recite the same passage. When he had finished, it is said that nobody applauded. But there was hardly a dry eye left in the house. The MC, upon commenting on the two who had recited this passage, said the orator recited this passage like a man who knew it and was gifted to recite it. But the minister recited it like a man who knew the shepherd of which it speaks.
Amen.
You will notice, my brethren and my sisters, that there's something unique about this passage. It seems that the man who wrote this passage was a shepherd. It has been ascribed to the authorship of David. However, David did not write all of the Psalms. Many of them were written by some of the priests and their aides about the temple. Others were written by other patriarchs and saints. But there's something about this passage that seemed to portray that its author was a man who knew something about a shepherd and sheep. Knew something about the shepherd's attitude toward his sheep. And then something about how the sheep relied upon the shepherd. Listen, if you please. This is a gem when it comes to sacred literature. This kind of testimony doesn't just accidentally occur. You can't dream upon something like this. To give off a testimony like this You've got to have had some experience with God.
Yes.
You've got to been brought to a kind of a situation where you've had to lay out upon God and fall out upon God and totally depend upon
Him. Well,
amen.
Listen now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me. If David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past. And began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord mean anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me. If David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen. With the scepter of authority in his hand.
Well,
the courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yes.
And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past.
Well,
and began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yes.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well,
had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No,
sir. It had been the Lord.
Yes.
Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd.
Yes.
No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah.
Yes.
To the throne of Israel.
Well.
Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath.
Yes.
Outside in the town of Succoth at the Valley of Elah.
Yes.
With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain.
Yes.
And the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other.
Well.
This man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob.
Yes.
You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head. Saul's own sword in his hand. Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his sling and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Since Saul hath killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul. And how Saul sought to kill him. And how he had to run and hide. And one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south. And another company closing in from the north. And another one from the east and another one from the west. And there was no escape for David. And God whispered to a spider. And told David to run in a cave. And told that spider to get busy. And web up that cave. And when the soldiers got there, God is my shepherd. I feasted to my satisfaction. He let me then lay down in a plenty. Green pasture. It's a green pasture. That's why I don't like to hear people talking about I'm a Christian and trying to be all pitiful. No, this thing is nothing piteous. I'm a child of the King. And my Father says, the world is mine. And the fullness thereof belongs to me. Gold and silver are mine. And I have 10,000 blessings in my hand. Just for charity. That's so pitiful. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Yes, he does. And he leads me beside the still water. The still water. They tell me that this part of the verse was inspired by an occurrence that constantly or frequently occurred with respect to shepherds and their sheep in Palestine. It is said that very often when the sheep went down to the Sea of Galilee, the waves were billowing. At this same passage, the 23rd Psalm. And when everything was gone, he began reading, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yes, he does. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. You know, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know I would lose my way but for the fact that the Lord leads me? But you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way. The way of truth is a narrow way. The way of love is a narrow way. The way of justice is a narrow way. Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way. And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God. But the reason why I do not lose my way always, the Lord leads me. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me by the still water. He restores my soul. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh Lord, he lead me in paths of righteousness. Oh Lord, he's holding my hand, otherwise I'd go astray. Oh Lord, I'll take the road.